Archbishop Vincent Nicholls, you've just concluded your spring meeting of the Bishops' Conference there in the UK. High on the agenda, I believe, was the way you're going to be commemorating the anniversary of the papal visit, the visit that Pope Benedict made last September. Tell us a bit about that.
We've decided to hold a national commemoration in Westminster Cathedral on the anniversary on the 18th, Sunday the 18th of September. And all the bishops will come to that, and we'll meet afterwards, as you were reconstructing and recalling the historic meeting we had with the Holy Father. But perhaps more importantly, the whole of the impetus we were given by the papal visit has continued to shape our reflection on our work. We looked very closely at some of the content of the message of the Holy Father, and we're building our future priorities around that content. We looked at the response of people to the papal visit and an emerging confidence and identity of Catholics, and we've taken a few steps in that direction as well. And we continue to look and explore the role of religion in public life, which was such a central part of the papal visit. So the papal visit continues to be the impetus for our work.
You're talking about finding practical ways to build on that. Can you give us any ideas in practical terms of how you can move ahead on the basis of what the Pope said and the way people reacted, as you say?
Well, one thing we're decided to do is to ask Catholics to focus again on the Friday penance as abstaining from meat. In 1984, in response to the responsibilities laid on the Bishops' Conference with the revision of canon law, we offered people quite a wide choice of acts of penance. Now, what we want to do is, without, as it were, withdrawing those, say, from next September, from the anniversary of the papal visit, we now expect Catholics together as a community in a very clear way to use abstaining from meat as the sign of their Friday penance, their Friday desire to keep in mind and to be one with Christ who gave up his life on the cross for us. We're also reflecting on some of the key holy days, the Epiphany and the Ascension, and we're also going to make a particular effort to study the opportunities of our culture as part of our preparation for the forthcoming Synod of Bishops on the new evangelization. And we're pleased that Archbishop Bernard Longley has been appointed by the Holy Father to be part of the Pontifical Council for the new evangelization.
Let's look back a moment at that Fish on Friday, as it's often called, that initiative of Catholic witness, as you call it. How much support is there for this, do you think, amongst people in Britain today? Because it is going back to something that was quite popular in the past.
Well, there was a notice in a fish shop that was pointed out to us, a notice that said more fish is sold on Friday than any other day at all in this country. So there is still a cultural association of Fish and Fridays. And I think it's still there within the Catholic identity. And that's what we want to offer. We want to offer our community the benefit of acquiring a habit in common. Because when we seek to acquire habits of penance, in this case, in common, then the lesson is more quickly and more strongly brought home. And we begin to get into a pattern of life, which means every Friday we give up, in this case, meat, in order to remember that Christ gave up his life for us on the cross.
Another issue high on the agenda during your meeting, I believe, was how to deepen social engagement in Britain today, a real new culture of social responsibility to people in need.
Well, that's correct. Clearly, this was something that was given impetus by the Holy Father and also by some of the comments of the Prime Minister when he said one of the aims of his coalition government was to foster a culture of greater social involvement. So what we've been doing since the visit and since last November is surveying how much, in fact, the Catholic community contributes in social action, both through its major charities, some of the religious orders charities, and right down to the myriad of small initiatives that take place in every parish where people reach out to those in need around them. And what we've tried to determine to do is to create a much closer network between all of that and to see if it can't be seen, be strengthened by association, and indeed be a focus of exchange of gifts and experience. And we're looking towards the Caritas model in order to try and develop that closer network, closer mutual cooperation, and closer identity. So we've got some hard work to do, but we will be using the Caritas network in order to test some of the models by which we can achieve what we want to achieve.
Now, these talks are taking place, or these ideas are taking place, if you like, in the context, as you mentioned, of David Cameron, the Prime Minister's big society. And there are sort of fears that perhaps, in a way, the church is being asked to take over where the government is now failing to deliver, isn't there?
Well, I think these are two distinct items of policy that are emerging. I think everybody acknowledges that Britain, like many other countries, is in a period of economic austerity. And indeed, in one of our conferences, we were given a very clear picture of spending forecasts for the next 10 years. And there is no doubt that available income is going down. And that applies to individuals, to families, to local authorities, and to central government. How that is handled is a very sensitive matter, and there we keep saying that the needs of the poorest, the needs of the most vulnerable, really have to be kept high on the agenda. On the other hand, and at the same time, there is a desire to generate a greater sense of mutual responsibility, and it's that part of the agenda that we were considering very closely. They come together in a desire that we expressed, a kind of resolution that we expressed, that we will try and be in greater touch with our local authorities, because the different parts of Great Britain vary very considerably in how economic cutbacks impact on people. And while the Catholic Church isn't hugely rich in resources, it's certainly rich in generous people. And there might be more to be done with greater cooperation between the local Catholic Church and a local authority in trying to make sure that those who are most vulnerable are not unduly and severely burdened by economic necessity. That is the fear that what will happen, and we have to speak up on behalf of those who are most vulnerable, but also see if there's some contribution we can make in practice as well.
One final issue on your agenda, I understand, was the teaching of religious education in schools and concerns about this new English baccalaureate that may not have religion as a test subject.
That's correct. And we passed a fairly strong statement, we've issued it today, which I hope will help with the ongoing discussions with the Secretary of State for Education. There is quite a broad upsurge of opinion. An early day motion in the House of Commons with well over 100 signatures on it, a public sign-up campaign with over 100,000 signatures on it, that religious education shouldn't be downgraded in this way. Clearly, the Secretary of State wants to give particular importance to subjects like history and geography, and that we fully understand. But we believe that in a time of increasing religious and cultural illiteracy, to downgrade RE seems particularly unwise. There is a need in our society for people to understand religious phenomena, and not only their own faith, but the faith of people around them, if we are going to build a harmonious society. So that is our appeal. We urge the government to reconsider its decision and now to include RE in the English baccalaureate.